very much, Charlotte. Our next speaker is Declan Mulholland, who's also speaking from a young lady.
I'm going to remain seated at the floor. My name's Declan. I'm sort of from the northeast. I studied in Leeds for a while. I was the chair of the Labour Club there. I was also the youth organiser for the northeast for Jeremy Corbyn's second leadership campaign. So I know some people have obviously mentioned some of the reasons why we need Andy Morgan. So I thought I'd sort of make my speech about sort of going into the practicalities of how we do that within the Labour Party. And again, I'll speak on behalf of Young Labour. That arguably since, I suppose, the 19th century, that the relationship between the West and the rest of the world has been a one defined by imperialism. And even sort of in relatively recent history, between 1945 and 2000, American imperialism's led to the bombing of over 25 countries, the attempted assassination and successful assassination of over 30 world leaders, and the overthrowing of 40 governments. And for too long, as many speakers have said, this Labour governments themselves have remained complicit in this destructive cycle of exploiting the global south. NATO, in particular, has become some of the institutional expression of American foreign aggression, justifying itself ideologically by pursuing these policies of war and aggression. Of course, that's propagated and perpetuated by, as Charlotte mentioned before, the sort of mainstream media. And I think the hypocrisy of that is outlined greatly in terms of the crocodile tears that are often cried when we see the sort of atrocities of war on our tellies. And I feel like this is epitomised for me by a quote from a band from the local area. It's about Aylan Kurdi. And it goes like this: it's when in a boy washed up, in your mind he was beauty and he made you feel that you have to be kind. It's a fine line in a lifetime, and then Paris happens and we turn back into a swarm of flies. And I feel like that in itself epitomises the sort of, for that one moment when that boy washed up on the beach, the harsh reality of this destructive policy is reiterated in the way that humans can only respond to it with pure emotion. And I think often the sort of bravado and propaganda that goes into the propagation, the sort of persuasive techniques that are used to justify war, the real essence of it, and like Laura said about Tony Benn and the Channel 4 News excerpt, that's deliberate. The dissonance between the two is deliberate, and it helps to perpetuate the cycle of violence. However, I think there is a growing resistance. In Stop the War demos, with Iraq and Libya, have had a huge impact. With the vote on Syria in 2013, eventually falling. And these events and the discourse surrounding them have, in turn, I believe, created a sentiment and a movement that I think has emanated itself into the Labour Party in many ways, as we see today. However, as everyone on this panel, I sure agree, there are still members of our own party, the Labour Party, who, like previous Labour governments, are complicit in this perpetual cycle of war and profit. But with the current leadership, I do believe, as Charlotte said, that we are closer than ever to adopting an intellectual, holistic foreign policy that reflects values of peace and justice around the world. And even the youth party of our the youth wing of our party has seen positive moves towards adopting an ethical, sensible foreign policy, with the recent passing of a motion on internationalism urging the party to commit to withdrawal from NATO on the basis that it no longer meets our collective security needs, but also that its continued aggression makes people in the UK and people around the world less safe. But as I said, there are still arguments to be won, elements of our own party to influence, and we must head towards, I believe internally in the Labour Party, a further democratisation of the party to enable the membership to influence our foreign policy in a meaningful way. And I think within the parliamentary system itself, I think the Labour Party is our greatest hope of seeing a peaceful world, and I think we must seize this opportunity, and that means getting involved in the party on different levels. Getting a Labour government is but the first step, and you know, as soon as we do get in the government, the leadership will come under immense pressure from not just the Parliamentary Labour Party, the civil service, global capital, and no doubt the MSM themselves. And this is why, if we want to see a government which can truly be anti-war, we must democratise the party from below. And I believe that this means joining the party, getting involved in the discussion, and supporting anti-imperialist policies that Jeremy Corbyn has so long called dearly to his values and ethics. And I believe to change the world, we have to begin and we have to change our own party in our own country and influence people in the rest of the world. And of course, we must be internationalists. And I believe, as I say, the Labour Party, to me, I think, is our greatest hope in terms of achieving that within our own country. So the policies of wars of aggression, predominantly against Muslim countries like Iraq and Afghanistan in recent time, have indeed left a scar on our own party, and indeed the very premise of a parliamentary democracy, with many voters, especially in the North East, losing their faith in the Labour Party and in democracy itself. And I think it's time for the British government to take a holistic view on foreign policy instead of pandering to the demands of an antiquated organisation whose primary purpose is to generate capital for the likes of Lockheed Martin. And I finish with this. Tony Benn once said that all war is a failure of diplomacy. And I think it's that sentiment and that idea that the Labour Party and the next British government should adopt in order to achieve peace, justice and equality around the globe. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Declan.